everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountRecovery.net, and I want to welcome you to today's webinar where we're talking about how to shorten the training curve to get new collectors on the floor faster. In today's world, time is money. The longer that new hires sit in training, the more it's costing and the less that they are collecting. The objective of every training department should be to get collectors on the floor as fast and as prepared as possible. So today, in this webinar, which is being sponsored by Peak Revenue Learning, we've got a panel of experts here to dive into the specific techniques and strategies that can be used to accelerate training without sacrificing what new hires need to learn. As I mentioned, this webinar is being sponsored by Peak Revenue Learning. Peak Revenue Learning's knowledge source is a training platform that helps companies address the biggest challenge in learning and knowledge retention globally. It's called the forgetting curve. If you haven't heard of the forgetting curve, or if you forgot about it, you've no doubt seen the results in your organization. The forgetting curve describes the rapid, dramatic deterioration of retained knowledge after learning events, whether that is new hire or other types of training. And all your people experience this, whether they are new or seasoned team members. The results include mistakes and complaints, missed revenue and dissatisfaction, rework, and higher turnover. This leads to increased regulatory, financial, contractual, and reputational risk. Knowledge Source will turn the forgetting curve into deep learning, enabling your team to rapidly acquire crucial skills and knowledge and, more importantly, help them retain it. Knowledge Source will help make your job easier and empower your people with the knowledge they need to thrive. You can learn more by visiting them online at peakrevenuelearning.com. In case you don't want to remember that, I just dropped a link in the chat that you can use to click on and visit their website. Let me introduce you now to our panelists. Michael Jeselnik is a 20-year veteran of the ARM industry who began his career as a collector and has had a number of jobs moving up the corporate ladder since then. Inspired by an industry that has given him so much, Michael's commitment to ethical practices, consumer rights, and professional development within the industry goes hand-in-hand with his passion for sharing knowledge and educating colleagues. His dedication extends beyond his day-to-day work as he takes pride in serving as a past president of the Georgia Collectors Association, actively contributing and giving back to an industry that has shaped his career. Christy Lawyer is currently the subrogation manager at Wilbur Group. She earned her undergraduate degree in business management from Lincoln College, as well as obtaining associate's degrees in general insurance, insurance service, claims management through the Institute and SCLA Gold through American Education Institute. Christy assists the Wilbur team with training and developing continuing education and overall success in their role as claims adjusters at the Wilbur Group. Sharika Newman is a corporate trainer at Revco Solutions with 7 years of experience in revenue cycle management. Her journey began as a bad debt supervisor in third-party collections before transitioning into recruiting and, for the past 4 years, training. As the first friendly face new hires encounter, she takes pride in guiding them through the world of collections, accelerating their learning with hands-on practical training. She started by training both first and third-party collectors, later specializing in first-party collections, and now in 2025, she's excited to return to working with both groups. Greg Ruffino has been in the ARM industry since 2010, where he started from the ground up as a frontline collector for Williams & Fudge. He quickly moved into a team leader role and then on to become the director of training. In his 10 years as the director of training, he recreated their training processes and philosophies. In recent years, he ushered in the new age remote workforce by becoming their recruiting and onboarding specialist, attracting collection talent from across the country. These efforts resulted in Williams & Fudge being recognized 4 times between 2018 and 2022 by Training Magazine's Training Apex Awards as a worldwide ranking of organizations that excel at training and human capital development. Greg also became a certified ACA training specialist, and has spent the last several years making the rounds as a subject matter expert at ACA conventions, a repeat participant with Collector Live, and a staple on webinars, including here at AccountRecovery.net. In 2023, he joined the vendor side of the industry and became the North American sales manager for the Interpros Corporation. In this position, he enthusiastically connects with our industry partners to provide innovative collection software solutions that are at the forefront of pushing the ARM space forever forward and increasingly profitable. Everybody who's watching us live today is absolutely invited to ask questions and submit comments during the course of our conversation. You can use the chat or the Q&A to submit your questions and comments. If you prefer to participate anonymously, click on the anonymous button in the Q&A, and I promise you anything you send to us is sent anonymously. All right, first, I thought it would be a good idea to kind of start by asking each of you what you consider or what you think the objective of a training program should be. Is it to get collectors ready to collect? Is it to get them comfortable and make them want to stay in order to reduce turnover? Is it both of those? Is it more? You know, when you sort of take a step back and think about what the objective of a training program is, where would you start? Michael, I'm going to pick on you to go first.
I don't know if you guys can hear me. I'm having issues with audio.
Yeah, we can hear you.
April Fools. Yes, sir. I got
well
it.
Done.
I got it. All right. So, it was a little one. All right. So, objectives of a training program. It's all of the above. It's to get everybody, as prepared as possible, to be able to get on the floor and collect, to be able to handle easy objections, to make sure that, that you're not going to get sued over something silly or, you know, something not silly. It's to expose that new hire or that trainee to your company culture. And really just set, I think training just sets the pace for much of the rest of their career with your business.
Mike, I was going to go next, but we've got to get Sharika first webinar with you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm putting you next, Sharika. Come on.
Thank you. And Michael, I do agree and echo your sentiments in reference to preparing the collectors and making sure that they're also essential, prepared with essential skills and knowledge to efficiently collect payments for us, right? While staying compliant and building their confidence and engagement to reduce turnover. So for us, that is very, very important. It takes like a balance of both, equipping them to perform their role and fostering the desire to stay by creating a supportive learning environment. So we do like to indoctrinate them into our culture. Our culture statement is to serve one another so that we can serve the world here at RevCo. So once we indoctrinate them into that, from there, we're able to roll out our training and get them acclimated to our policies and procedures to get them on the phone.
All right, y'all. I'm going to give it five out of five, Sharika.
Awesome.
Excellent. Perfect.
All right, you're in. You're good. Now it's easy from here. Chrissy, I'm going last on this topic. Go
okay,
ahead.
Sounds good. So I do agree that it can be like all-encompassing, like training as a whole, but I do think there is some like breakdowns of like what onboarding looks like, what like culture training looks like, and what process training looks like. And if you're like breaking it down into like smaller increments, sometimes those bite-sized pieces are a little bit easier for new people to come in and embrace. So I like to sometimes consider like what is training for me. It's like getting comfortable with the systems, process awareness, expectation, knowledge, as opposed to like the development side of things, where sometimes you can get, you know, everything at the same time and now we're overwhelmed and we're not remembering anything. So I think there is some places where you can, although training as a whole can encompass everything, that breaking it down into small segments, and it's like, what's the purpose right now? Let's focus on that and make sure that the expectation is that we're learning this particular thing. So although it does have everything, I think it can be broken down into smaller pieces and everything doesn't have to happen at one time.
Good start, gang. I'll give my 2 cents here, Michael, if you don't mind. At the end of the day, the whole objective is to get a return of investment on that new hire, right? And hopefully you can expand on that for a long time. But at some point, there's the break-even point for the company expenditure on that person. And then there's the profit side of it. And obviously, we want to get to that profit side mm-hmm. as fast as possible and expand on that as long as possible. And starting at the very beginning, at the interview process, we as the company are judging or grading or assessing that person. We've got to remember at the same time, they're judging, grading, and assessing us, right? So from the moment they are given that job offer is where this really needs to kick off, that onboarding. And typically, there's a few days, if not a few weeks, between hiring and bringing them in the door. And whether they're in the door or they're being hired remotely, slightly different nuances in that, but we need to consider what is going to allow us to get a return of investment on this employee. And one of those things that we all struggle with is keeping someone interested and in the door. So for a very long time, we've struggled with how quickly can we show you the money? How quickly can I get you to understand that you can work our functions in software, that you can collect from our clients, and you can actually have success? Versus how do we get you comfortable in knowing that this company is good fit for you from the long term? So it's a quick mix of that, right? So I think very, very importantly, as much as we want to quickly get them on to the phones and trained up, is you got to get them super comfortable. And that is from day one and day two, whether it's in person or over a computer, is they should be meeting the executive teams. They should be meeting the important decision makers, whether that's complete tours of the facility or time spent online on the computer to make sure that they are crystal clear on all of the processes and systems and procedures to get them comfortable, the benefit packages and all those things that they want to know, that they're not trying to be crammed with collection information while they're worrying about what else to do with all
the when's their insurance starter
and yeah. all of that kind of stuff, right? So we want to make sure that you are well organized to deliver all of those things that put people at ease, make them feel very welcomed and comfortable. And as soon as that can be accomplished, again, that could be one day, half a day, day and a half, whatever it is. And then from there, the objective is going to be how quickly can I get you viable on the phone to get you taking a payment, to get you to see the success. So it's a little bit of both, is get them real comfortable and familiar with the culture, expectations, and all those little nuanced things that are going through their brain. But sandwich right behind that with, let's get you some money. And I think they'd appreciate both of that.
I know for us, from the time where an offer is extended and accepted from start date, we have engaged in we consider them like a drip campaign, like, let me start helping you buy in now. I'm checking in on you, making sure you don't have any questions, and kind of getting any of those like jitter questions or things that maybe weighing on someone's mind, like, let's get those answered before you even start. So it's not, you know, added stress to, you know, a new job, new training, new environment type of thing. So I think it is important to like start to get that buy-in and start to get somebody like on the same page as you. Like, we've both decided this is a good, you know, we feel like this is a good fit. Okay, let's start making it fit together.
Get money in their pocket quick. That is absolutely true. Nobody wants to be training forever, you know, pay based on commission, you know, right off the bat, especially for somebody that hasn't been in the industry, you know, that's often an area of contention. So showing them the money as quickly as possible, that's perfect advice.
I like the show me the money concept a lot. What we do here at Revco is we indoctrinate them quickly day one. They have an hour and a half with human resources so they can address all those questions, right? Because people want to know their holidays. People want to know when they get paid. People want to know the benefits. They want just the real life stuff, right? What you come to work for. So making sure we get that out of the way. We also have them on day one orientation to meet their leadership team. But we do something a little bit more extraordinary by, and guys, don't steal this from us, but
I'm going to steal it.
Don't steal it. What we do is our C-suite team, which is, you know, our SLT, we like to be called, or they like to be called our servant leadership team. So they like to meet every new hire that comes in. And so once a month, we do have that meeting where they come in and they give great motivation, great speech, and they set the tone for the new hires. And we get so much back from the new hires stating that, oh my gosh, we love this. We've never got a chance to meet, you know, they call it the top dogs. We never got a chance to meet the CEO, the CFO, the COO. And so we make sure that we take pride in doing that. And it really helps to bring in that engagement to see, you know, is this a place for you? This is our culture. Is this a place that you think you can thrive in?
Yeah, I think that's crucial, Sharika. I'm curious, do you share a meal in those meetings?
We don't share a meal in the meetings because we have new hires from all over the company. However, we do have a program where we have influencers. So they are agents that actually influence the business, influence the way we want our new hires to be. And once a month, we do have a lunch with our new hires for the first 3 months, all the way with the influencers. And we just require 30 minutes of their time, and we pay for the lunch. So it's on us for them to get engagement with our influencers, ask questions. Usually they talk about negotiations or how they can get a bigger bonus without leadership presence, so they can have that one-on-one conversation. feel free to steal that now.
So how important is, I mean, Greg, I assume you brought it up for a purpose, but how important is breaking bread in training? I mean, I always try to have some, you know, some snacky snacks and some drink, but
well,
breaking
I think
bread like that.
Very personal to put food in your mouth in front of someone else, and it kind of breaks down some of those barriers, but it's a very personal experience, right? And anytime you sit down and eat with someone, you kind of relate to them a little bit more. But so obviously a lot of us now, you know, have remote hires and whatnot. So I think Shariki, you said you send them a gift card, and I'm not going to force you to look at me on camera and eat food and look at me on camera while I eat food too, but it's the offer. But the more important part is the actual coming together of the minds and having that conversation. The meal is just a nice to have add-on, but it's for those of us that are doing things in office, absolutely make them eat food in front of you. You get to know them real quick.
Like, I'm judging you by your order. No.
Well, why not? But I think to Sharika's point, in addition to meeting some of the top dogs, and we also reference meeting some of the other influencers in the office, is we would love to put top collectors in front of new hires as well. And depending on how you're hiring and where you're sourcing your talent from, especially in an environment where you're getting a lot of referrals or internal references, and again, this could be from a remote standpoint as well, is like if I came into this company and my friend or cousin or neighbor helped me get this job, and one of my first days on there, they're in front of me telling them that my class, how successful they've been and some of their tips and tricks to get ramped up. And I might look at this bird like, man, my cousin's a moron. If he can make money here, so can I. But I'm kind of joking on that. But the point is not just hearing from the top dogs or the decision makers, but here's someone that is your technical equal, your peer in this role, and they're telling you directly. So you're getting that sense where maybe you do have a little bit of competitiveness in the office, but at the same time, it's not that at a level where I don't want you to make money. I'm going to out collect you, but I still want you to do really well. I'm going to make more calls than you, but you're still going to do really well. And here's how I did it. So building out those relationships as well, or showing them the successes, or having that person who's 3 months ahead of them. They were in a class 3-4 months ago, come in and be like, guys, I was in your seat 120 days ago. The first couple of days, you're going to be drinking from a fire hose. But if you just stick to the plan, stick to the process, do what these guys tell you, it works. I'm crushing it now, and it just kind of builds validity and it kind of builds excitement to that new hire in those first couple of days. So I'd say, yeah, expose them to all kinds of people in your office, people that are great representatives of what you want to deliver that message for.
I'm going to just jump in quick here. I hate to interrupt the flow, but we've got a lot more to talk about, and we'll get right to it. But first, I wanted to invite Chris Rickman from Peak Revenue Learning, which is sponsoring today's webinar, to say a few words. Chris.
Thank you, Mike, and hello, everyone. We're grateful to have the opportunity to sponsor today's webinar. Our company provides Knowledge Source, the leading knowledge skills and compliance training application for companies with collection operations. Knowledge Source is used by our clients to simplify and lower the cost of training both new and existing employees, whether they are on-site or remote. As mentioned earlier, a phenomena that impacts any company training anyone is the forgetting curve. It describes the rapid, dramatic deterioration of retained knowledge after learning events, whether that is new hire or other types of training. In addition to leading to increased mistakes and complaints, missed revenue and dissatisfaction, this contributes to greater turnover. A problem that many organizations face or share is considering employee development to be an expense rather than an investment. This view can have a detrimental impact on morale, motivation, and retention. According to a study by IBM, employees who feel that they are not being developed to reach their career goals are 12 times more likely to leave their company. Most of the folks we speak to recognize that the outdated model of onboarding training followed by annual refresher training is absolutely inferior to a model where spaced, repetitive micro-learning promotes much deeper learning. Knowledge Source clients or companies that want to build and maintain a high level of assurance their team members have not only mastered, but are maintaining their mastery of the knowledge and skills expected of them when they're interacting with consumers. Knowledge Source will increase quality, decrease risk, grow revenue, lower costs, and help reduce turnover. To find out more about us, please visit peakrevenuelearning.com or give me a call, 803-521-0031. We are here to help make your job easier and both you and your company more successful. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris. Thanks again to Peak Revenue Learning for sponsoring today's webinar. Again, peakrevenuelearning.com is the website, and I also dropped the phone number for Chris in the chat if you wanted to reach out and give him a call. Okay, so we're talking about accelerating the learning process or the learning or the training process. I'm curious, looking at the quantity of training, the amount of training that's going into your training programs or that should go into a training program today, how much different is it today than, say, a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago? Are you giving them more information or less information? And maybe we could talk a little bit about what should go in. And we'll start to talk about the components and the content of a training program. Greg, why don't you kick us off this time since you went last time?
Great choice, Mike. So if I were to look back when I started this initiative, you know, this is more than 10 years ago, I mean, it would take close to 2 weeks to get someone on the phone where we felt totally comfortable, or a week and a half, whatever that was. And post-COVID years, we had that down to like day four or something like that, right? So we, in the industry, we're finding ways to accelerate how quickly we can get them onto the phone. One of the items and one of the questions that might come up later, Mike, is you also want to get them started on some low-hanging fruit, right? We want to get them that success. So maybe lesser priority clients or very low balance stuff where you have just a simplified piece of paper you can get them on the phone for. But I think nowadays what really allows us to accelerate the training and getting them on to the phones of the consumers is at least your company could or should have some advanced tools available to you at this point in age, right? So if I'm going back to when I was on the phone, it was so much focus on the talk off and overcoming verbal stalls and objections. And if that consumer didn't want to talk to me on the phone, I didn't really have any other great options. So I'm trying to learn how to overcome that objection of staying on the phone with me. Nowadays, hopefully I can say something like, no problem, I'll send you an email. No problem, I'll send you a text. No problem, we have a chat bot for that. No problem, you can go to our online consumer payment portal. Things along those lines, right, that at least are available in our space today that are helping people connect with consumers a lot easier because you have a lot more options. Other things as well is you see is a lot of compliance features or systems that you might be working on are much more capable of handling things for the agent. Auto notations, things that trigger certain events where I don't have to do a whole lot of manual processes after a call. Things along the lines of using real-time scripts or helpful prompts that are telling me what to say in those moments. All of these items are helping me get an agent on the phone quicker or more comfortable quicker when they have all these other options and tools available to them. And I think at the end of the day, Mike, I still want to give you a ton of information. I just might be able to spread it out over a longer period of time and slow drip it versus trying to front load everything before I let you free in the world, because I know there's a lot of compliance systems tied in, and I know that you can deploy a lot of other options before you become some master Jedi mind trick collection agent that can talk off anybody. Hopefully that made sense.
I think so. There's a lot of tools. I don't think there's any less information to train on, but I've definitely changed how I'm training that information. You know, so I mean, compliance it really should be one of the shortest segments in your training. It's not hard. You know, I mean, I've done an entire section E, right? It's don't lie, E8, E11. Let's move on to the next letter. You know, I mean, like those are the three things. You know, don't forget your mini Miranda. You know, if it's a dispute, label it as a dispute, report accurately, and don't lie. You know, I mean, that's the entire section summarized. How the information is presented, you know, I've definitely changed how I'm giving them that information. I have an unfair advantage of being married to a veteran teacher, and I have stolen more content from her than probably anybody in the entire collection industry put together. And what I've learned is how information is presented has a significant impact on what percentage is actually retained. And you guys can probably tell by the length of the paragraph that I'm saying now, I like to lecture. I mean, not only do I like to lecture, I also think it sounds great. But there's several different categories. And if everybody that's in a training program will take a moment and just look up learning pyramid, there's several categories. And going from least effective to most effective, it's lecture, reading, audiovisual, demonstration, discussion, practice doing, and then teach others as the ultimate retention method. And if you just look at that pyramid and try to morph your training program to hit those higher levels, or the bottom tiers, I suppose, of the pyramid, you're going to find that things are going faster because they're actually retaining this information more. So you're not having to continue going over it or keep testing or as much of that as possible. So get them to do quickly.
I agree with you, Michael, on that. Do collectors need more information? Absolutely. I would say about 20 to 30% more to handle complex scenarios. I know customers' expectations have increased, right? And technology is ever-changing. We forgot to mention AI. So now we have better speech analytics tools out there that we can use and put in front of our collectors to help them to assimilate the learning better and to help them on their calls to collect the money, right? To get our return on investment, right, Greg? So with that being said, the only thing that I didn't hear mentioned is cybersecurity. That is one of the big, big things that really comes up in our industry, especially with massive fines and legal trouble, you know, if we're not careful in being cyber security-wise. So I would say adding that in and taking an information security course in the beginning so they can know how to, you know, when it comes to data breaching, they'll know what to do and how to do it. But yes, absolutely that, as well as being compliant. We mentioned about being compliant, system navigate and system navigation as well.
Okay, Sharika, real quick. If I find a thumb drive in the parking lot, I should put it in the computer just to see what's on it?
I mean, I'm saying if you do it at your job's computer and not mine.
Yeah. Right, right.
I do agree very much. I'm glad you brought that up.
Good point.
Because as much as I'm trying to give you magic bullets that you can just expedite and snap your fingers, that's an incredibly important component. Mm-hmm. And I think as painful as that is to some people, like myself, going through those courses, it's super vital. And before you let them really get into your systems, that might be a day one or day two function that you say, hey, we got to go through this for obvious reasons and knock it out. And then obviously supplement the training down the line.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
I know for us, there is a lot of like innovation that continues to happen like all the time. And finding like some self-solution options have been super helpful that I remember that this is about to age myself when you had a training binder, right? Like the training binder was the thing. That's what you did. I'm not saying we don't have one now because some people do, you know, that's like a security blanket. But there's so many other like ways for people to find answers to their questions or this situation comes up and like, oh, I know exactly where I can find this information. So like building the confidence, it really has to do with like interactive systems, and just the different ways that we're innovating here to allow the process to be quicker. And that's really the point of it.
I still have my spiral, binder maker. Like, it hasn't seen the light of day in a long time. So that kind of, something that I've been working on, recently is, and I'm curious if anybody else or anybody in the chat has done this, but how many people have taken their training material or the information and created an LLM, you know, a large language model, and have have an AI agent basically answer questions instead of the old dusted spiral binder.
Mike, I think that I very recently have discovered how powerful that can be. And
yeah,
I'll do a 2 second plug on my current day to day. I got to answer these sales RFPs, and these things are massive, and they're not the most fun thing to complete. But we've started feeding into our own ChatGPT login a bunch of prior RFPs, right? This could be you taking your training materials. And I was just this morning answering an RFP that I was not looking forward to at all, and was essentially copying and pasting and getting back incredible answers, where it's making myself much more efficient. And it's one of those things where you can add like a widget or something onto your home training page or your home login page for the employees. And it doesn't take long to build it out. You literally feed the machine already existing documentation that you've already created. And it's pretty incredible. Your policies and all those things into that. And man,
it's really fast. I mean, just,
if you want to replace all the trainers in your office, do that right now.
Thank you.
I'm kidding. But you bring a very valid point, because I'm seeing the benefit of that on my side, and that is absolutely true.
Got a question here from the audience, so I'm going to use this as an opportunity to remind everybody, if you have a question or a comment, by all means, drop in the chat or send it in through the Q&A. The question was, are there any tips on bridging the gap on training people from other countries who might not be familiar with some of the things that we deal with here in the United States?
I got some perspective there, Mike. I spent a little bit of time in Nicaragua at Connect International's offices, onboarding some of the offshore agents there. And not to compare that location anywhere else, but just in my own experience, is spend a lot of time with them, especially if this is remote, obviously. Don't just think everything's fine and they're off in their own world, or they might have their own supervisors there. They're no different than your staff, where they want to feel acknowledged and recognized. But at the same time, part of my experience with them was they were kind of slow to open up and to talk. They were hesitant to let their opinions be known. They were hesitant to ask questions. It took me several days to get those folks real comfortable and letting them know, like, you can say whatever you want to me. You can ask us any questions you have. Don't be shy. Don't be reserved. So I think by you spending a little bit of time with them, obviously remotely, and not just in a job capacity, but just general conversations, and getting them real comfortable with asking questions to you, because you want them to ask you questions. You don't ever want to just assume everything is fine and well. But open up to them, and they'll open up to you, and that'll build that stronger relationship that's going to keep them around for a while.
Even want to like identify cultural differences, like before I get into this, are there some things that I can like have more knowledge about myself? I think that's important also to identify, like, can I do some work on my side to make sure that I'm training with the proper expectations, or are there some things that we need to address that I'm going to know beforehand? As long, you know, if I've done my research too. So there's some ways to like identify some things that you know are going to come up that you could get ahead of and be prepared for.
I've had
like
baseball analogies.
No, Jeselnik, I'm not done. Jeselnik, I'm not done. You're gonna hold your turn there, sir. but if you, the specific question, if you're having international employees for you, then do a little bit of research on what the local holidays are, or any days of significance. Should you give, I mean, they're like, cool, I get 4th of July off, which means nothing to me in this other country, but like, what are their days of special interest or celebration, right? Making sure you're acknowledging those, or even the little things like the birthdays or the anniversaries, and the incentives as well, right? Making sure that they're taken care of and they're not just seen as a button pusher in a faraway land. Sorry, Mike.
All right. Yeah, I mean, The cultural things are incredibly important. I've had so many baseball references, analogies fall short, and I've had to very much shift those into football and soccer, football or soccer. And that country's holidays, and I mean, recently I had experience with a country that was going through like turmoil, really, really, really crazy political stuff going on, people being shot. I mean, it was absolutely awful for them. But recognizing that those things are going on and making sure all of your staff and they are your staff, you know, that you can't look at it as some other company. Those are your people, and they may having to be dealing with things on a daily basis that, you know, we may not be able to imagine. So just bear that in mind.
In our office, we have, so I guess we experienced the opposite, because everyone there wants to come to work. They're happy to come to work. There's no language barriers, maybe just a little bit, but not enough that you're like, oh my goodness, there's a language barrier. They have a lot, we have a lot of success stories, and what we have done was identify a trainer in that area, so that we can train the trainer. We invite them into our chats and whatnot so they can feel like they're welcomed and they can feel like they're a part of our environment, even though they're in the foreign land.
Hey, Mike, I'm going to take this question here. I'm going to put Sharika on the hot spot as our first timer today. So Sharika, I'm going to prep you up here. So Joe Tucker, thanks for the question here. I'm going to add some flair to it. So Joe's saying, what's your perfect standard time frame to get someone producing? And perhaps at what point in time do you see that line in the sand, Sharika, where you might have to have that conversation that says this job's not for you? So Sharika, do you guys have a noted hard line or timeline in the sand, or is that a moving target based on the individual?
It's a moving target based on the individual, and we do implement. So we do like a 2-week standard time, you know, training. The first week learning all about Sprevco, our processes, our systems, learning about either if it's a bad debt class or if it's a first party class, learning about those stakeholders, right? The second week, introducing you to client specifics, clients, negotiations, 3COM, you know, disputes, handling complaints, different things like that. And then the third week, we're getting you on the phones, basically. What we do before we try to get them on the phones is we try to target having one-on-ones with our agents before we even do that, so we can actually tap in and hone into where are they at? How are you feeling? What is it that you need from us? We also, outside of that, we have 7-day and 60-day surveys. And the 7-day survey is just the next week, right? Well, we actually do a person-to-person survey. We tap in with them, another person, just to see, where are you at? Where's your head at? Is there any tools or anything that we can provide for you? Ultimately, ensuring their success with our company. So we do, like I said, have a 2-week turnaround time, usually with most of our trainings, and try to get them on the phones within the third week.
Yeah, I agree that a moving target on an individual basis is a good way to look at it. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing I looked at in somebody was, bottom line, are you a conversationalist? Are you willing to try to have that conversation? So if I hear you on the phone really trying to drive a dialogue, and you're staying in the trench with the consumer, you're not trying to hang up or end the call, I can hear that your effort is there. I'm going to give that person a lot more grace to find success and to start producing for us, versus somebody, regardless of their prior job history, if I can just hear no energy, no effort, very, very nonchalant, not really caring on the phone, that person's timeline is going to be discussed much differently. Like, I need to hear these changes in you, right? That person who's a conversationalist, I'm going to give them that opportunity to try different tactics and techniques, but they're going to keep doing those things because at the core of them, they're there to talk to people. So I very much agree. But at the same time, I've seen in the past where you hold on to people for way too long and they don't produce for you. And the longer you hold on to them, the harder it sometimes is to get rid of somebody. And obviously in a remote world, it's probably a little bit easier to say goodbye to somebody than if they're somebody from your own community. Mm-hmm. So those are all things to consider. But to the question is making sure that you're having plenty of conversations. It should never be a surprise if it's someone's last day. It should be a ramp up, whether you do performance improvement plans or anything like that. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone if that job no longer exists for that person. Mm-hmm. It should be a ramped up conversation based on their current efforts.
Agree. And I also, when I have my one-on-ones, I don't mind having those hard conversations. Is this the right fit for you? Because if it's not, you're wasting my time, you're wasting your time, and I can be on to someone else who wants the job and wants to do the job. So So I don't have issues making having those conversations, as well as providing that insight to our leaders so they'll know, okay, this is what's going on. So I do send a report, usually within 3 to 4 days of training, just so I can give an insight of everybody's personalities and where do they fit within our culture, if they even fit within our culture.
You know,
a lot of the person who shows up on day one is not the person who came to the interview.
All the time.
Just a matter of how much different, you know. So oftentimes with our small agencies, especially, you know, your trainer is the same person that's hiring, you know, and might even be the same person that's supervising the floor. But regardless of how many layers of this process they're in, making sure that whomever is doing the training does not have their ego wrapped up in this hire or in this trainee, because for that trainee not to make it through the program is a reflection on me as a trainer, right? And I've got to get everything and just invest way too much into this person that, you know, maybe could ultimately get it, but probably not within the timeline that would be acceptable. So put your ego outside the vehicle and make the best decision for the company with those trainees.
All right, I'm moderating now, Mike Gibb. Christy, this question is going to you. All right, this is from Gabriella. Thank you, Gabriella. So, Christy, kick us off here. Share some of your secrets. What systems are you training from? Any kind of online learning programs? Are you using PDFs and PowerPoints? Are you in-person classroom style? What are some of the methods you're doing to deliver the information?
So we use quite a few different ones. We are in person. We don't hire anyone remotely at all, so it is in person. We use like an interactive learning system. We do use PowerPoint. We do have old school binders. We're like hitting it everywhere. We're doing a lot of like face-to-face. We even do like one-on-one. Our class sizes are restricted to like 4 or 5 per like class start, so that we can individualize the training, like meet you where you are. We have people that, you know, have a bunch of experience, and it's like, okay, with that, do you have bad habits? With that, are you a rock star? And we just need to like allow you to spread your wings. So we use all sorts of different things. There isn't just one specific way that we're training any given class or any given person.
Yeah, I think we often hear, whether it's 5 people or 10 or whatever, you're going to hear like, oh, I'm a very visual person. I'm a very hands-on person. I need to just read something. You're never going to have a class of people who all
the same, no
technically
way.
Learn the same. So I think it's a great approach to provide a well-rounded all of the above, and hopefully you can all land in the middle. So Gabriella, to your question, the sponsor of this particular webinar, Peak Revenue, Knowledge Source, that's a great, great tool right there. Right, that is something that's going to be delivered on their desktop at certain designated points throughout the day. It's very non-interruptive. It's very quick. It's little micro little bits. And I personally would highly recommend checking that out, not just because of the sponsor, but because it's a product. But it does the deed. It's delivering them in the moment. They could be in the middle of one account to the next, answered 2 quick questions. Oh, yeah, thanks for the reminder. Moving on, non-disruptive at all. One of the things we ended up using was directly out of our HR payroll suite, which I don't recommend because there's lots of other products out there, but it was an online e-learning suite, and it did its job where I could create videos and quizzes online, which you could take. I could say, hey, this is due in 2 or 3 days, and you don't got to get up out of your seat to do it. You can go on pause on the dialer or on the pause on the phone system. I tell you, this is a 15-minute deliverable, and you find 15 minutes in the day where you can digest this. I love doing in-person classes, but let's say I did a 45-minute in-person class. Well, the reality is the 10 minutes before the class and the 15 minutes after the class are dead time, because people are going to see that window of time and just expand on how to elongate their non-working time frames, right? So if you can do in-person, like Christy, awesome. Make it short, sweet, get them in, get them out, have some conversations, provide for some online learning, regardless of the platform that you're deploying that at. I also found that videos were very, very helpful. because it's not just you can combine the PowerPoint on the screen with your face doing all these kind of good stuff like that to make it a bit more personable. But delivering all of that stuff, and at the end of the day, they should be hearing lots of calls, lots of good calls, lots of bad calls, their calls, this person's calls, the call that got the lawsuit, the call that got the $20,000 payment, the call that came over the impossible dispute. They should hear lots of calls. Michael, I heard one time you had Nerf guns and you were shooting people with them. Is that true?
That was more than one time. More than one time. And they weren't Nerf guns. They were Nerf dart apparatuses. All right. for HR's sake. I'll go ahead and shout out Knowledge Source here and Mr. Rickman. From what I understand, if you use Jesselnik 10, they'll give you a special demo. You should have a platform that can accommodate as many learning styles as possible. Knowledge Source happens to be one of those. You can embed videos for folks to watch and then answer questions about. But that's a great software. If you don't have one currently, that's a good place to start.
Oh, so you stopped moderating?
No. I'm good. I saw Michael freeze for a second. I thought I was in the Matrix for a second.
Oh, okay.
We're all good. There was another question. Where did it disappear to? So I thought I saw a question that referenced, I am a remote trainer, but the people I'm training are in office. I thought I saw that question and it disappeared. But either way, so I think we can handle that one, Mike. That's a great question. Is if one of us was dialing in remotely to train and in class, I think the question referenced up to 20 people, what would be some of our tips or tricks? Whether we're doing it or not, what would be some of your tips and tricks to help engage those folks?
I would be glad to answer that because I am a remote trainer.
Let's go.
And I do train people who are in different, I train work from home people. I train people who are in different offices. So, and at times I have them all in one class. So one of my last classes, I think it was January, February, was a class of 21, 22 people. And I had a manager, I had supervisors, and of course, people who are seasoned collectors, people who never collected before. I would say having assignments and having breakout rooms. So we do train through Teams, and I do utilize a lot of breakout rooms, and I do use micro-learning modules as well to train. So basically, if I see that someone is not getting it, I have that one-on-one session. I may give them an assignment because they're more hands-on and they may learn better by reviewing the manual and then answering questions, something like that. Other people are maybe more hands-on and I can create a role play based on a common call scenario, how to overcome an objection, and we'll do a one-on-one with that. Or I'll pair them up with each other and give an assignment with each other, put them in a breakout room to say, hey, I'm going to come in, I'm going to demo it for you, and then you're going to do it with each other. And I'll leave out that room and I'll just go and join the different rooms and I have different assignments created based off of their learning styles.
Yeah. You guys, Michael and Christy, let me know how you think about this. So I always found regardless when you're doing anything over a computer, and those folks could be in person together, but either way, my interaction with you is over a computer, is as the instructor, you need to start from the very beginning with calling people out, asking questions, making them
get that engagement,
making them aware from the beginning, like, oh crap, he might call my name any point in time, and let them know, like, this is the way this is going to go. I'm going to call on you and you're either going to embarrass yourself or you're going to answer the bell, and let's see how you respond. So I think very early on for the question that we got was, if you are the one at the helm and you're the one remote, regardless of where they're at, let them be on their toes and start calling out their names and say, hey, Christy, what do you think about that? Hey, Sharika, tell me about a time when, hey, Michael, expand on that for us. You know, and they're just like, now they're dialed in and you're just going to be able to increase that retention a whole lot more and get a lot more benefit out of that time when they know, like, man, this teacher is going to call me out anything.
I need to pay attention.
Right.
We've had a couple different situations where we have a couple different locations where a class is being taught in one location, broadcasted to another, and we generally have a like an assistant in the room, I guess you could say, to help with engagement, making sure everyone feels like they're getting the same information and the same touch, but the engagement opportunities are where it's most important to make sure everyone's staying engaged instead of, you know, like we're glossing over and nobody knows what's going on or we're not paying attention. So engagement is like the huge part, whether that means someone in the other location would be like helping with that engagement and making sure that everyone's feeling like they're getting the same, I don't want to say attention, but something like that, and staying on task in it. You know, sometimes it's hard to like read a room if you're reading it over a computer, you know, or like a screen. So we have found it helpful to have somebody in person, but we only do in person. So
yeah, making the engagement something that they look forward to, mm-hmm. hopefully, even the introverts, I think it's extremely important. And I mean, it can only cost, you know, a dollar or a crisp high five or, you know, a special badge or something. Right. But, you know, I try to, anytime I engage with a class is to have a intermittent randomized reward system where, you know, hey, you get this right, you know, we spin the wheel or whatever. Mm. And that's something you can do remotely, in person, or
anything
spiritually. Yeah.
All right. Another great question, gang, from Coraline Mack. Thank you. And it is our opinion of seasoned collectors, tenured folks versus the brand newbies in the pros and cons. And I think we should break this answer down into both in-person hire or remote hire. So what do you think, Sharika?
I think if you can repeat the question again, I would be good.
Sure.
To go.
All right, if we had a magic crystal eight ball and we made perfect hiring decisions, are you think about an in-person class and then think of a remote class. For each of these classes, who are you preferring? Brand newbies, never really done the job, little experience, or the tenured folks for in-house and remote?
Okay, so I have trained in class and I've trained virtually, so I would say with both, I prefer newbies. And the reason why is because they come with a clean slate and it's easier to manipulate their brains, as I like to say, you know, and
right.
A lot easier. So I prefer, like, I just had a person that had a doctorate degree, right? What are we going to do with you, right?
Yeah.
Because he just had a lot of book sense, right? But not a lot of common sense. And I don't know if I can say this on here, and I hope I don't get in trouble.
Do it.
Thank you for saying that. But I do prefer newbies because they take away everything. They're clean slate. So.
Great answer. I used to have difference of opinions on this. If it's an in-person class, I'm open to either. It's dependent on your resume, dependent on your interview, dependent on your references. I'm open to both. Non-difference there at all. If it's for me, if it's a remote class, I would personally would be very hesitant to hire a newbie. Only because, in my opinion, we know that this job can be very difficult. It can be very tedious. The things you're going to hear, the long days of no one talking to you. And if you are a previous collector, you already know that and you know what you're getting into. And especially if you're remote, regardless of the engagement my office tries to do with you or how long you're on camera with us, we can only see and gauge how you're doing so much throughout the day. So I need, for me, my remote staff to hopefully be either tenured before or have a very similar job where they're at a desk all day prior, where they're on the phones and on the computer all day long as part of their prior job. In-house, if you're going to come work for us in-house, I'll take either one. And before, maybe you have people who are local to you that also get opportunities to work from home. Before that person goes home, they're going to prove that with in-office work as a newbie or a tenured person before we send them home. But I love the clean slate, though. There's a lot to that. But if you're remote, I'm have a hard time really getting my feelers on you on a day-to-day basis, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't necessarily have a huge preference one way or the other. I mean, except for, you know, people with that experience, but it's a different type of training. With somebody with experience, you're going to probably spend time untraining them on things that, you know, don't fit your culture or are just wrong. And then retraining them on your way of doing things. But they usually come with decent communication skills, and they can hit the ground running pretty quickly. With the new hires, you're really just starting from a clean slate. You can train them however you want to. They tend, in my experience, they tend to be a little bit more gun shy and take a lot more encouragement to get them rocking and rolling. I haven't really thought about the remote versus in person with new hires specifically, but that's a really good point that I'm going to consider going forward, actually.
Guys, I think this is where Mike is going to come in, and he's going to say, okay, let's give some parting thoughts here. Are we about that time?
All right. We are close to that time, but first, there's a question in the Q&A. We don't have time to kind of dive into it, so I'm going to ask you, thumbs up, thumbs down. The question is, what are your thoughts on listening to bad calls from current employees for new incoming employees? Should we try to pull bad call recordings from previous employees? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
And the only reason I give it sideways, Mike, is because you can skewer the voices, you can change the voice, you can take names away, you can edit those things out. If it's truly worth listening to, listen to it. Shame on you for having that bad call, but I'll blank out your name and I'll change your pitch so you sound like Minnie Mouse. But we're going to hear the call.
All right. We are, unfortunately, just about out of time, but I'm going around the panel one last time, because what I'm going to ask each of you, if you were going to assign homework to everybody who's watching this, if there's one thing they absolutely needed to do, as soon as this webinar is over, they go back to work, they're trying to sort of make sense of everything they learned today about their training program, what is the homework that you would assign to everybody? Christy, I'm going to ask you to kick us off.
I'm going to go back to our first question. What's your objective? What's the training objective for this particular, you know, block of training that you're doing? Find the objective and kind of work backwards.
Great callback. Thank you. Love it. Michael.
The learning pyramid. That is absolute, very well documented researched information. Adapt your training program to hit as the highest retention that you can.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Sharika.
I would combine what Christy said in reference to the objective of your training and Michael's to the pyramid and bring those together and assess your training program.
All right, Greg.
If you're not doing it yet, I highly encourage you to get into creating some video training content, building out your own content library. There's incredibly cheap or free tools you can use online where you overlay yourself with PowerPoints and whatnot. But those are things that you can repeat, right? The idea is you can deploy these things and repeat these things without burning yourself out, and these things can live on for years. So get good at being in front of a camera. A web camera is all you need. Cheap, free programs. Start making some video content. Your current and future company will thank you for building out that library, and it's got to start sometime. So start building.
All right. Well, Greg, Sharika, Michael, Christy, I want to thank each of you so much for being here today. On behalf of everybody who's watching and listening and walking away with just some amazing ideas and tips and things that they can be doing in their offices today to improve their training program and get collectors out of training and onto the floor and collecting and making money faster, thanks to each of you for being here. We all really, really appreciate it. Chris Rickman, I want to thank you and Peak Revenue Learning one last time for sponsoring today's webinar. Everybody, please check them out at peakrevenuelearning.com. Everybody who's watching, thank you so much for making us part of your day. We always appreciate you being here. So thank you so much. Great engagement. Love seeing it. If you're watching us live, we're back tomorrow with a webinar at 1 o'clock Eastern where we're talking about state licensing trends. It's an area that's been brought up as renewed focus by states in terms of enforcement and oversight of the collection industry. And one of those things that they're going to be looking at are licensing. So we've got a great panel coming to talk about what's going on there. If you haven't signed up yet, there's a link in the chat, or you can find a link on the events calendar at accountrecovery.net. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to seeing everybody.